Pastor Ronaldo, come on up. Let's give God praise, saints.
Glory. Hallelujah. Wow. Those 4 inches makes a difference, okay? It really does. I might sound like a little parrot today, but it's okay. Just know that if I do sound like a parrot, it's for me to just remember and deposit that word in my heart, in my spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to share with you a testimony about a young man who had a heart to study, to get a career, and going to college. But his parents told him that they had no economic, they had no money to provide for the career. But he did the best thing that he can do. We returned to his heavenly Father, pray before him. His posture was to prostrate before him, face down, face forward down to the ground, acknowledge him and come to him and ask for his provisions, for he knows that his Father will provide all things that he needs. Amen. And he also entered into a 3-day fast, possibly 4 or 5, but 3 days of fast. It makes a change. It transforms you. Now, remember Apostle Paul, when he was going to Damascus, it took him 3 days to be blind, 3 days of no food, 3 days of fasting, and God transformed Apostle Paul. Amen? So back to this student. He called his pastor at 3 a.m. He says, Pastor John. And I say, what do you want? What do you need? I'm like, well, I've been praying. I'm going to go to the university. You know, God told me just to go. I applied. And everything's paid for. And I'm like, so why are you calling me? God already told you. He goes, well, I want to let you know that you taught me that I need to pray. I need to fast. And I've been fasting for 3 days. So this morning, I'm going to go down to university. I'm going to apply. And I know that God already paid for it. I'm just going to go there. And he goes, okay, John, let me go back to sleep. So he does. He goes back to sleep. So the young man goes straight to university. And again, the enemy gets in the mind, right? After you already know you have the victory, the enemy is an opportunist to just put a wedge in there in your mind. He wants to just come against you just to make you doubt, make you believe. So what does he do in his natural mind? He stands to the last person, right, on the line. He goes, just in case I won't be embarrassed. Just in case nobody else has to hear me. Just in case this happens. Just in case they close the door on me, right? But his spirit man had already prayed up, had already fasted, had already come in alignment and divine order with Holy Spirit. Amen? So he gets to the registration, and there's a young lady there. He says, how can I help you? Oh, I'm here to register for the career and such. He goes, okay, let me see your documents. 1, 2, 3, puts all the file. And she goes, well, let me see the file. Let me see the receipt that it's already paid for. Let me see that registration is already paid for. He goes, well, you know. And then he just goes like this. He goes, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And right away, he's like, she was like that, right? And I'm like, didn't you hear me? I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. God told me that he was going to pay for my career. And I know that he already paid for it. And at that very moment, the dean of the university, it came to that point, right? He goes, young lady, what's happening? I'm like, this young man is saying that God paid for the career. And she goes, really? He goes, yeah. You know, I need some certain papers. I'll take care of it. Let me talk to this young man. Please go to the office and give me these other papers. So she goes, and the dean goes, young man, what's your name? I'm just going to say Emilio, right? Emilio. He goes, so tell me about this. How do you know that God spoke to you? How do you know that he already paid? Well, I heard his voice. I know I heard his voice. And you know, just in that same conviction that I come here just to say that he already prayed for my career, I know because he put that in my mind. I know that his word decrees that he will put his word, he will write his word in my mind, in my heart. And I took ownership. So I know that he, please explain again. How did you hear his voice? So he was very intrigued, and he explained that three times over and over and over again. He goes, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my heart, the dean said. He goes, okay. Because that, I heard a voice this morning, and he said, pay for his career. Pay for his career. Amen. And at that same very moment, the young lady comes back. He goes, please give him the ticket. The career's already be paying for it. It's all good. It's all taken care of. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God he reminded me that, because it's not in my notes. It is not here. He is good. Amen.
Amen.
We serve a good God, a faithful God, an excellent Father. So I pray, Father, that in this hour, every heart who is here in the sanctuary and in the live stream, to open the hearts and hear your directive, your living word. Holy Spirit, I turn over this service to you. In your hands, work through these lips of clay as you will it. Let your counsel, let your guidance keep us in full reverence of your holiness. I pray that your word, we take it and we adhere ourselves to your word, to receive your word in our spirit, to receive your word in our heart, to receive your word in our mind. We take ownership of it, and we ask you that day to day, you teach us to apply it. You teach us to come to a knowledge, to understanding, wisdom, that we use it in our daily basis. That we just don't come and let those words come through one ear and come out the other, but that we adhere ourselves your living words. It's living water for our spirit. It's living water for our minds. It's living water for our sons, for our household, for every area of our heart. So we take ownership of it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Thank you for being present, Father God. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians. The homework is to look for the chapter, but I know you're going to recognize this word. It says, Father God, I pray for the we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Hallelujah. So, any hindrance that the enemy thought that he could bring today, apply towards any of us here in the sanctuary or there in the live stream, is being defeated.
Amen.
Amen. He has no argument, no authority, no power, no dominion in any area of your lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 30 pages is going to go quick. I know that. Amen. Hallelujah. We praise God. Before I forget, before we transition to the actual message, to his word, more of his word, I'd like to know how many here are for the first time. There's one. First time visitors. Who hasn't been here in the last year?
Raise your hand.
Keep your hand up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You can stand up. Here at Genesis Upper Room, we like to bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you. See, in that gift that Genesis Upper Room gives you, sister, it comes with a bookmarker, and it describes and tells you what's the meaning of the anointing oil that is inside the package. It also has a little notebook so that you can take the notes of today. You can take the notes of what the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you tonight, tomorrow, and the days ahead. That anointing oil that you have there is for you to anoint yourself, anoint your head, your hands. And as you encounter the Holy Spirit, as you encounter Him supernaturally, He's going to start transforming. He's going to start healing and resurrecting all those things that were dead before. Even that that self-esteem that was down, sister. He says, today, my daughter, my beautiful daughter, I'll restore you back to the way I created you to be. For you are beautiful on my eyes. You are wonderfully made. Amen. So take hold of that healing and resurrection power that is coming over you, sister, right now. And as you have experienced that supernatural encounter with Holy Spirit, sister, that smell of that oil, His precious oil, that smell is such a beautiful fragrance that He knows. And you should know too, that as you continue to pray, as you continue to posture, to prostrate yourself before the Lord, He hears you. He hears your prayers. And He's working behind the scenes for those things that you are asking Him for. Know that He will never forsake you. He will never forget you. He's there with you in every midst of the storm, sister. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's remember that we are here at Genesis Upper Room Church. It's a school. It's a school of the Holy Spirit, a prophetic ministry. We are all welcome to come. As Apostle Michael said earlier, if God has already prompted you a message in your heart, He has already put His word in your mind and in your heart, you are more welcome to come over to Him. Also, you can go to the social media and they can just email us and say, I have a message from Abba. I'm ready to share with everyone else. Amen. I also want to take the opportunity to ask if there's anyone in the sanctuary who has not yet confessed that he believes Jesus Christ is the Lord. Even in line, online, on the live stream, if you have not yet, let me read to you what Romans 10, 8:13 says. It says, but those, it said, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of the faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between you, Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So for those who, if there's anyone here in the sanctuary, feel free to stand. Even if you're in a position or you're in a status where you feel like you need to rededicate your life to God, to say, Father, here I am. Here I am. I am sorry. I'm here. Please encounter me. I'm here, Father God. Or if you're a new person who is ready to be born again, repeat these words. Father God, in this hour, I come before you and recognize my sins before you. In this moment, I repent from all sin, present and past, future, and all hidden sins that I am not aware of. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to search my heart and clean and remove any and all things that does not belong to God, to God's kingdom. I confess and I recognize, Father God, that your Son died at the cross and resurrected on the third day. And I recognize that he paid the price. He took my place. And with his precious blood, paid the price. And I believe in him. And in him, I put all my trust. I receive him in my heart as my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, you are welcome into my heart. Reign over me. Let your precious and the power of your blood wash away all sin, all darkness from my heart. Fill me with your holy presence. Thank you, Abba Father, for your Son, Jesus, who has come to redeem me, to set me free from the bondage of the enemy. I ask you, Father, Father God, to write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, in the next book, in John 8:34, Jesus says, he answered this way. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be freed indeed.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And as I was writing this word, about 2 to 3 times on my notepad, reading it, writing it, reading it, says sin will not remain in your heart. Sin is not going to remain in that house. Because remember, we just invited Jesus Christ to your house, your heart. Sin will not remain there. But because we confess with our mouth that we believe who Jesus is for us and through us, he is going to abide in our house, his house forever. Amen. There's no way that the enemy can convince you otherwise. Amen. He has set you free, and you are free indeed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I guess put a quotation marks. I should have said louder. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Like usual, I go ahead like 2 pages. But that's good. It's always good. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father God. I know I gave the media booth the title. And it says, the posture to prostrate. Prostrate. Prostration. Amen? I look for the word posture, posture noun, the position in which someone holds their body when standing or sitting. Also, attitude, stance, stand, and standpoint. Now we need to search, and at the same time, let's ask Holy Spirit all the time to come and search our hearts. Right? We need to do so. Like every morning somebody shared with me that, what would you like me to know about you, Father God? And what would you like me to know about myself, Father? Amen?
Amen.
Those words were very wise of a sister in the Lord. So we need to, as we ask him and as he reveals, we need to attend to what is our attitude towards him? What is the attitude towards the enemy? What is our stance? What is our standpoint? Where are we standing every time, every day? We need to be watchful of what we are doing. We need to be watchful of what the enemy is doing. Amen?
Amen.
The verb for posture is our attitude, the way one behaves. Now, we came out of the world. He called us by name. And as we come, and we had already asked him to start cleaning our hearts, cleaning our mind, cleaning our behavior. We need to change our behavior. Amen?
Amen?
There's so much the world offers. I mean, I know we all are from different cultures. that's just one thing. What the enemy offers in the world and through the world, those contaminations, those things that have polluted our hearts, polluted our minds, polluted our behavior, polluted our attitudes. When we come and we take the posture to prostrate before the Lord, it's at that very moment that there's a transformation in our hearts. To posture is to stand, right? So if you're standing physically in the natural realm, you're standing with your own strength, right? Your posture, your attitude, your behavior. I mean, you can try to fool yourself. You can try to fool the one in front of you. Whoever many we can fool, right? We pretend to be strong, know it all. Sometimes. I'm there, you know, sometimes. I just don't want to, sometimes my natural mind just don't want to hear it, right? But this is where I get reminded by the Holy Spirit, hey, you need to change your attitude. You need to change your behavior. Don't go out like that. Don't go out on people. Remember, God loves you first so you can love him back. If you have no love in you, how can you love your neighbor? How can you love your loved ones? Right? But then again, if we are standing, we are going to get tired. We are going to get tired. If we could keep contending with our strength, the enemy, right? Again, the warfare is not against flesh and blood, but principalities, right? So there's a posture, but we also need to change our posture. And we need to go to prostration. That should be our posture before him. You guys know what's the highest posture, prostration that we can do before God? There's one that humbles you. There's one that says, here I am, Father, I surrender. Here I am, Father, I cannot go any longer with my strength. Here I am, Father, I can't do it with my ideas. I cannot continue to move forward with my intellect. I cannot move forward with the knowledge that I have obtained from reading X book 2, whatever it may be. I know the internet has much to offer and the world has much to offer too, but we cannot continue to put our faith on that, put our strength on that. We need to come to that posture of prostration before the Lord, and the highest one is this one. I'm going to show you what it is. See, at times, our body does not want to do it. When the body does not want to do it, when your natural man does not want to do it, we need to be watchful of what's taking place. What is it? Pride. Self-righteous. Like, no, somebody's going to see me. Or even sometimes you're self-conscious. Like, no, why am I do that? Why would I do that? What is this going to gain me? I'm like, those are lies of the enemy. What is this going to get me? Come on. You got to break the stronghold. Amen? And that warfare, that battle, is in our mind. And we have to break it. We have to destroy it. And sometimes, I'll say it has to be all the time that we have to come against the flesh. We have to come against the natural mind, against our own flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And believe me, it only takes one time, right? It's the same thing as it only takes one look from Jesus, right? It only takes one encounter. It only takes one supernatural encounter with Abba. One. And he has you. He has you. In that same way, in that same manner, let me show you the highest place of humble, the highest place to surrender. And it is this way. You get on your knees and you're like, I'm there. No, you're not. You come like this. You lay flat to prostration. Is you lay flat, hands up, to some, sideways, some, and you put your face down, downward, okay, to the ground. And here, in this prostration, in this position, you're telling Father, I surrender. Father, I am weak. I cannot do it with my own strength. I need you. This is a part where you enter into a realm, into his supernatural realm. You go from the natural to the supernatural realm. This is a part where you get prompt from the Holy Spirit and you start wailing. You start crying. You start interceding for you, for your household, for your loved ones, for your family, for your neighbors, for the nations. From this place, from being prostrated before the Lord, this is where we wail. This is where we surrender. Amen?
Amen.
Earlier, as worship was going, I went into that realm of surrendering. Don't get me wrong. I wanted to stay there. I wanted to stay there. Because one comes to recognize his presence. When you surrender all that you are, all of it, every area. You're in that position, you are surrendering every single room of your heart, every single room of your mind, every single room. Amen? It is at that point when you recognize, and I know we tend to say, we feel it, right? We feel his presence, we feel that he entered, we feel that he came. But as believers, we declare, we know that we know that his presence is here with us.
Amen.
His presence would always remain with you through every single storm. Amen?
Amen?
It doesn't matter how windy it is, you call his name and he is going to be there in the midst to see you through, to pass through. Amen?
Amen.
Going back to our attitude, going back to our behaviors, as we little deliverance there, maybe. As we continue to progress in his word, as we continue to advance, we go from being a Christian, a believer infant, into a mature believer. Amen? See, our attitudes before, remember as a little kid, when you take your little kid to the store, what does a kid do when he wants something from a tall shelf or whatever shelf it is? He grabs you by your belt, you walk in, you're dragging him, and he's just crying. He says, I want it, and I want it now, right? It's like, oh, man, this is such embarrassing, but what is he doing? He's very persistent, and like, I want it, and then he's going down your knee, and then goes your leg, and you're walking, and he's just limping, and he's like, he's grabbing, he's like, I want it, I want it, and I want it now, right? I'm like, he's just sure that he's going to get what he wants. Right? But that's a little kid. And as they get older and older, and as they get taught by their parents, in teaching them the word, in teaching them the ways one believer should behave, right? They start to grow. They start to mature. And when they ask you for something, all they need to hear is, yes, you'll get it. And they're at peace. They don't do that whole whining anymore. See, those are the attitudes. Those are the behaviors that we used to have before. That when we came to God, like when we were in problems, in a big problem, in the circumstances, I need it now. I want it now. I need it to happen now. I need your love to manifest. I need you to manifest this miracle in my life. Saints, as we mature and we ask him, his peace, it is more than enough. It is sufficient. Once you came before the Father and you brought your petition, you interceded for that very thing that is needed. And what brings more joy is when you start interceding for your loved ones, for others, right? It's like when you come to church and you meet someone else, someone else get prophesied, someone else get delivered, someone else get, you're like, yes, thank you. That brings you so much joy, right? See, in the same manner, that's who gives us joy, that you need to understand, you should know that he heard your petition and you should be at peace. Amen?
Amen.
Us, we go by Chronos time and we're tracking everything by the minute. I mean, you go to certain places, get some coffee, you go to certain places, get some food, and you are demanding, you're like, I want it now, I ordered yesterday, I want it now, right? But when we come before him and we put a petition, we intercede, his peace, all you got to do is just walk. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you that you lean your ear towards me. Thank you that you heard my voice. Thank you that you lean your chest so that I may hear your heartbeat. Thank you that when I'm beginning to ask you, that what I'm beginning to intercede for is no longer my will, but your will. Amen?
Amen.
It is something that it will be fulfilling. It's his love towards you. He will manifest his kingdom in you and through you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, where do we go? Hallelujah. Posture of prostration. In this position, we acknowledge him. We surrender fully, completely. Amen? Hallelujah, we praise you, Father. Thank you. It is here in this position of prostrating before the Lord that it takes a transition from the natural to the supernatural. As he increases, as his presence increases in us, the way Jesus behaved, the way the attitude of Jesus increases in our lives from daily basis, right? Every time that we come before him, every time that we are praying, every time that we are fasting, every time that we are hearing his word, every time that we choose to share the good news, the gospel, with your neighbors, with your co-workers, every time we step into that supernatural opportunity, and you know what I call a supernatural opportunity? That door that he opens up for you on a daily basis. That very door is for us to take that choice. You can sit there next to your co-worker and listen for Chronos time, 1 minute, 2 hours, 3 hours, 1 day, and maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, and he comes up with the same thing, right? Or you choose that supernatural door that he sets before you and says, look, listen, you don't have to battle through that anymore. Listen, I serve a God, and he is good, and he is faithful. He can change that for you. He can transform that for you. All you really have to do, all that you need to do is confess. Romans 10, 8 through 13, just confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Put all these things, all worries on his hands, and allow him. Allow him. Be at peace. Right? Just as my sister today, she received that gift of that oil, right? I carried my bottle every day. I go to work with it. I go. Right? Now, can see the oppression. I can see the oppression. Those who surround me. Right? The moment you start identifying what's taking place, the moment you know you identified the tactics of the enemy, if it's oppression, if it's anxiety, you don't even have to go ask, hey, are you going through this and go that? You don't have to make it known. It's like, hey, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Because God didn't put the spirit of fear on us, right? But of power and a sound mind. We have authority of the enemy to what? To trample over serpents and scorpions. Amen? You need to be bold. We need to be bold. Whether it doesn't matter if it's a coworker which is younger, older, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are stepping through that supernatural door that God had opened for you, that He ordered it. It's a divine order. It's a divine appointment. Amen. Amen. Yes. Somebody else did it for us. Somebody else was a vessel to pray for us. Somebody else was a vessel with that oil, of the anointing oil. How many remember the first time you guys encountered the anointing oil? What did that do to you, to your inside? What did it do to your heart? What did it do to your soul? What did it do to your discernment gateway? It got amplified, right? And for those like me, when he was asleep, I didn't know nothing, no left from right. But once that oil came in my life, I know it's a symbol, but faith needs to be active. It needs to be in action. So you grab the oil, you anoint yourself, you anoint your head, your ear gates, your nose gate, every gate. Amen? Amen? So he brings you that remembrance that he set you free. And he's the one who builds you up. He is the one that equips you up. And with that same rejoice, you're like, oh, you already know. You're like, I mean, I get excited. I'm like, oh, they're about to encounter the oil. They're going to start smelling. And I'm like, damn, right? And I'm like, and then my mind is like, oh, I don't know if they're going to take it right. What if somebody else walk at the same time? And they're like, well, if he walks in, please get him too. Just invite him. Share with them, right? And there's times where you have the oil and you left it in your car and you're like, oh, Lord, can I speak without the oil? Can I pray for the person without the oil? But we need to be at peace that he's before you. Yes. He's already there. Yes. Amen? Yes. He's just waiting for you to step up. You're already equipped. You already built up. Holy Spirit, the day you were born again, tongue-talking, devil-rebuking, disciple of Christ, you have the power. You have the authority. Yes. Amen? Amen? But because you know the feeling, you know the experience of smelling that oil, you do not hesitate. And afterwards, you have prayed for that person after you brought down every stronghold captive under the name of Jesus. I love that scripture because the key point is his name, the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. That means that any and all spirits, any assignment, any attacks, any tactics of the enemy must flee, must go, must be destroyed, must be dissolved. In whose name?
Jesus.
The name of Jesus. Amen. I did went back to the car and grabbed the oil and still anointed him though. After I prayed for him, right? See, I heard the words that came out of somebody else's mouth and then another mouth and another mouth saying that it was a big show, right? A person that behaves this way, attitude is this way. If you don't do it his way, get out of there, right? Get out of his way. But I refused to believe that. That's not what God equipped us to do. He equipped us. He gives that authority to set everybody else in freedom. Amen? And as he came to that acknowledgement of confessing his sins and coming, it was like instantly, that quick, he took ownership of the authority of Jesus. He took ownership really quick. I mean, you can see the color of the countenance change his face. Amen?
Amen.
He hesitated the next week to hug me, but I know Jesus was hugging him because you can see the smile. And you do not feel depression anymore. You didn't feel the depression. You didn't feel no anxiety. And better yet, did not hear one negative word come out of his mouth. Amen?
Yeah.
You know what he did? He actually gave a praise report. He said he went home and anointing his children.
Come on.
Yes. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Did I care that he was Catholic?
No.
No, I did not. Did I care whether he was going to believe it or not? No, I did not. What was the care? That God would encounter him supernaturally.
Amen.
Amen? That's what we are there for. To walk through that door. He is good. He is faithful. Amen? He is mighty. He destroys every work of the enemy. How many know that our God is good?
Amen.
How many know that God is our God of supernatural?
Amen.
He makes the impossible possible.
Right.
If anybody else wants to convince you otherwise, look back to your life. Look where he got you from. Look all the impossibles he has done for you.
Yes.
One after another. He is unlimited. If he did it for you again, he will do it again. Oh, there you go. Twice. Yeah. He will continue to do it again and again. He loves you. He is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
So let's have our posture to have a prostration before him. Let always surrender. I know I show you physically to surrender face down all the way, right? And I keep... And it kept coming. Last week, it just kept coming. Prostrate, right? I'm like, why is my heart to the ground? Why is my heart? I'm like, nowhere for you to go. Where did I made Adam from? Where did I made him? From the ground. Right? I'm like, it was there where he made him. He's there where he manifested his presence and made him to his likeness. He made Adam. And he made Eve. Remember, the enemy tries to come and battle against our identity. I mean, he did it again at the beginning in heaven. You know, he came against God's identity. And then he goes to heaven and he goes against Adam and Eve. I'm like, oh, you know, he doesn't want you to eat from that because if you eat from that, surely you might die, you know. He doesn't want you to be like him. I'm like, but they were made to his image. I like him. Just like him, right? See, our tendency, our behavior, sometimes we walk. Certain people walk, not the ones here, but certain people walk with an attitude, with a behavior, and not remembering or not knowing or recognizing their identity in Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ and whose we are.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen? Whose are we? Heavenly Father, Jehovah Nisi. He is our banner. Amen?
Yes.
If we're going to behave, if we're going to have an attitude, should be Jesus' ways. Should be his attitude. Should be his standard. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So ask yourself, oh God, is my heart posture in prostration before you? Is it? And if it's not, because even if it's partially, it's not. You're either all the way in or out. You cannot be in the middle. You either have committed your heart to follow him, to follow his laws, to follow the statutes, to follow his commandments, to follow the ordinances that he has released into our lives. For he created us for a purpose. Amen?
Amen?
And as we continue to share, as we continue to do acts of faith, as we continue to anoint others, as we continue to lay hands, Mark 15:16-17, it says that we can lay hands on those who are sick and they will recover.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Those are the things that we sometimes, here's another, going back to the attitude, he's just writing that one on me, sorry. The attitude, the tendency, the standpoint, right? That we do all those things when we are in the church family premises. If God is a God of no limits, why are we limited? Why are we limiting ourselves to be active in that way only in church premises? Only when we go to a special service. Only when we go visit a sister church. Only when we go to a prayer group. Why are we only doing them there? No. Our attitude should be that everywhere that we are, everywhere that we go, we are the salt of the world. We are the light of the world. We are his kingdom here on earth. We are his ambassadors. Here we are to represent Jesus just in the same manner, the same way Jesus did all those miracles and signs and wonders. We have that same authority to do so even at the produce aisle. Even if you go to the store just to go buy food for your dog and somebody else there and like, you already know. It's like a big old flashlight on top of a person like, here's the one. So what do? Back to that supernatural door. We just walk through that door and start like, just start speaking the word of knowledge. Start speaking the word of encouragement. Start speaking a word of prophecy over that person. I know sometimes I'm not reminded, oh, let me ask. And if he kind of says yes, I'm like, I jump in it. And if he gives me a little attitude, I'm like, I just walk around. I'm like, it was never meant to be. It was just my, it was just me. It was my emotions, my intellect. No. You know that when you see that flashlight on top of a person, that's the Holy Spirit prompting you. Yes. Or didn't you go to sleep praying and say, Father God, you know, get me ready, equip my feet as I walk in the peace. I know that you order my steps. And for tomorrow, as I walk out of here, as I drive, not that I say drive, he reminded me, this other one, that when you, before you leave your house, you come against the enemy of every assignment, every contract of automobilistic accidents. That and all kinds of accidents, whether it's at work, and anybody who is left behind at home, that there's no accidents, that the enemy has no power, no authority to apply. It's a new day. It's a new mercy from God. Now, it's also an opportunity for the devil to drive another wedge, to bring in another tactic. He's just waiting for the weakest point. He's just waiting for that open space. He is just waiting for one that is not watchful. He is just waiting for, oh, that's a weak defense. I'm going to go through there. And he gets there, right? Now, during last week, I have prayed from home and canceled every single accident. 10 minutes later, that accident was canceled.
That's right.
But it was yay close, but it was canceled.
That's right.
Yes. Right? By the third day, I'm like, whoop, I got prompt. I was already driving. I was like 2 miles away from my house. I'm like, whoop, I repent. I'll start canceling those accidents right now. I just cancel. The moment I said cancel, almost T-bone. On the spot. Almost T-bone. So I give God honor and glory that he kept me. He sent his angels there. Amen. Fourth day, again, on the freeway. The guy must not see me at all because he almost made me change lanes. And could I change lanes? No, because an 18-wheeler was next to me. And I drive one of the biggest cars in the company, a Fiat 500, you know? So if I'm yay small, can you imagine between him and the 18-wheeler? But I give God glory that his angels also kept me there. Because when you pray, when you intercede, his angel comes around you. Amen? In a fraction of a second, he will defeat the enemy in front of you, behind you, to your right, and to your left. Amen? Saints, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. On Jesus Christ and not on men, for men cannot give you anything.
That's right.
Earlier, I needed to remind you that God has prepared an altar here for you. He has prepared the altar to come and meet you here face to face to have a supernatural encounter with you. Is for us to come to him from posture to prostration before him and surrender our hearts, surrender our mind, surrender our attitudes, surrender our standpoint, surrender all that we are. Amen?
Amen.
So as we, amen, hallelujah. See, when we come to his house, we don't come looking for his healing. We come looking for the healer. We come looking for Jesus. Amen. He's going to make what? The impossible? Possible. Amen. We are not here because somebody else has invited us in the natural realm. We are here because Holy Spirit prompted us already. He already came before you and just touched your heart. Touch your mind. So you do hear God's voice. You do hear Holy Spirit's voice. You are here. You hear him. Amen? Amen. The scripture says that he writes his words in our mind and in our heart. Amen. Amen, amen to God. Also, there's many times in our lives where we have allowed the enemy to enter, sometimes willingly and sometimes unwilling. We have allowed him to convince us of his schemes, of his lies, deceptions, and tactics. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that I may have life, and they may have life abundantly." So what is the enemy? What is the only thing the enemy does? Steal, kill, and destroy. And what does Jesus do? He gives you life, and he gives you life abundantly. In all areas of our life, he gives it abundantly. Amen? Did you know that in John 8:44, it says that the devil is the father of lies? Yes? Amen. So let's not lie, because he did reproach the Pharisees and says, why are you taking this attitude? Why are you taking that stance? You are the sons of the father of lies. Who? Satan. So we need to adhere his word, his commandments, his statutes, his laws into our heart. Walk his way. And his ways are better. They're higher. He is our standard. So we are to look for his ways. We are to proclaim his word. We are to decree his word in our lives, through our lives, in our household, in our city. Well, it was our neighborhood, our city, our nation, and through the nations around the world. Amen?
Amen.
And saints, do not allow the enemy to make you feel like you're the only one who gets attacked. You're not the only one. It has come from the beginning. How many know how Job got attacked? Right? The enemy came, stole, he killed, and he destroyed family, property, animals. God came around and restored all the things that the enemy had stole, kill, and destroy. What was the posture and prostration of Job? Blessed be he that gave it, right? He always kept his heart before God, and he always honored him. That's our posture. That's the way we prostrate before him, knowing that in all things that is permitted, he is the one who permits it all. We are to give him honor and glory in anything and everything. He is the one who's going to see us through the storm. And our peace is that as we come to him, we know that he's already working behind the scenes. Amen?
Amen.
There's so many examples in the Bible how the enemy came and attacked. Remember Daniel? He ended up in the den of the lions, yet God brought him out. Yes? Friends. I knew I would memorize the names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where did they end up? In the fiery furnace. Why? Because they had their hearts submitted to God. They are not going to bow to the wicked. They're not going to bow to false doctrines. They're not going to worship other gods than their true living God. They'd rather go through the fiery furnace and either perish, but their hearts were set before God. And God brought him through. Amen. Joseph, the enemy used his own flesh and blood and got sold into slavery. Yet, what did God do? Kept him, built him up, equipped him up, and saved an entire nation. Where was Joseph's heart? Before the Lord. Seeking him, trusting in him. Amen. Saints, I don't have a big enough notebook to write down all the schemes and all the lies and all the tactics that the enemy uses against God's people. But what you have is what he has given you, equipping you with. Discernment. Discernment to know what's taking place. Discernment to know what's happening. As you continue to intercede, as you continue to pray, pray that you have sight like an eagle, that you can see five miles ahead of what's taking place or what can take place. Right? Amen?
Amen.
But here's a tiny, short, small list of the enemy tactics and lies. He can use deception. He can be persistent. He can slander and gossip. Infiltration of false teaching, physical warfare, fear, rebellion, religion, witchcraft, confusion, depression, oppression, stress, doubt, unbelief, suicide thoughts, premature death, pharmakeia, rejection, self-esteem, mind-controlling spirits, bitterness, unforgiveness, and so many more. So many more that the enemy uses on a daily basis towards people. Amen? The Apostle Paul tells us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light so that what he says and does sounds good and seems good. I mean, nobody will believe something that looks extremely fake, right? I mean, it has to look exactly identical, right? For one to believe that it's real. Yes? Really, Pastor Renato? Can you back it up with Scripture? Holy Spirit can't. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15 says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to the works that they do." Amen? So our posture, our pulse, our attitude should not be one that behaves or complains or is nagging or is negative, or we're just proclaiming words of death, negative words, or just complaining overall, right? We just sometimes, like, instead of decreeing the word, like, "I know God's going to see me through," you'll be like, "Oh, I can't see my way out of this. This happened to me last year, and probably it's going to be like that next year." Don't say that. You got to say, "God set me free already." Right? He has given me power and authority. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes? You accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord, in your heart? So he's inside of you? Yes? So where are we seated? Heavenly places. At the highest point. Where is the enemy? Under our feet. Right? Yes? Is it too hot?
Nope.
Cold? You hungry? I am. So we're going to read more of his word, because not only of bread the man lives, but every word that comes, right? Amen. Remember, the enemy is an opportunist. He will use any means to enter, to check every soul. If he's going to use every mean, ask Holy Spirit, "Help me check every single door in my heart. Help me check every single door in my life. Things that I'm aware of and things I'm not aware of. Am I connected to certain tendencies of what the world offers? Am I being kept quiet before others when they are proclaiming clamoring, proclaiming things that are not of God's kingdom, and you just ha ha ha, or something that the person proclaimed that you know is not God's kingdom, you participate. You open up a door. Now, he might not attack you right at that moment, but he'll find an opportunity, right? And he'll release a tactic. Now, the devil cannot be everywhere, but he does have an army, right? So, what's our job? To be watchful of what we say, to be watchful of what we allow to enter to eye gate, ear gate. We need to be watchful of what we decree, right? We can only decree two things. We either decree death or life, right? Yeah. So what's the goal of the, what is a goal of the devil? Is to drive a wedge between you and God, right? Because you part ways, his one goes cold. If you're not praying daily, if you're not reading his word, if you start believing the lie that he doesn't hear you, he doesn't love you, he doesn't even know who you are, that's a wedge right there. Yes. Right? Yes. But how many of us know that God is good and he is faithful? Amen. How many of us know that God will see you through? Amen. How many know that Holy Spirit is there to counsel you, equip you, guide you, propel you, and move you forward? Amen. Amen? Amen? Remember, even after all those tactics and all those assignments that the enemy does towards God's people, what does Isaiah 54:17 reminds us? Should we read it?
Yes.
Let's read it. And as we read it, we know that he's going to put his word, where he's going to put his word? In our mind and in our heart, right? Yes. Later, we're going to decree his word, right? We're going to be so equipped. We're going to take ownership of what his word is. Amen? Yes. Let's start. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. See, all the enemy wants to do is to make you believe lies. Yes? But we always have to be firm that we know our identity in Christ. We know our identity, and we know whose we are, who do we belong to. He already paid the price. Do not allow the enemy to condemn you. Let's continue to put our eyes on Christ. He has already set you free. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one that covers you with his blood. His precious blood already washed you over. He already washed it away. It's for us to take the ownership that you are free, that you have the authority, that you have the ability, capability to do the same things Jesus did here on earth. Amen? So as we pass through spiritual warfare time and again and time and again, know that the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places." Yes?
Yes.
Not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your uncle, not your nephew, not your son, not your co-worker. It's against the principalities, against the spirit of this age, spiritual weakness in the heavenly places. Again, we are seated above your enemy. He's under your feet.
Yes.
Amen? Here's another reminder. Remember, as we are here, as we are seated, prepare your hearts for when you come to the altar. Know that he is here for you to meet every need. He is going to release revelation. He's going to release understanding. He's going to release wisdom. Amen? If you have felt worry, if you have felt heavy, that you carry certain things, as you come and as you feel led, to have a posture to prostrate before Him, then do so. Surrender all. Come before Him. Allow Him to remove, take away, and deposit additional portion of Himself in your spirit, man. In your heart. In your mind. Amen. A little water. Don't you just love His word? His word covers everything. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We praise You, Father God. So it's the same for us. We need to come in a place of recognition that He already won. He is victorious. You take the victory of the enemy already. Take ownership. The moment He died that cross and was resurrected, victory of all sin, all infirmity, all illnesses, any tactic, anything that the enemy tries to imply, is already defeated. As you pray, as you fast, as you come and prostrate before the Lord, and you put the armor of God, you will be, at the end of the day, at the end of that battle, you'll still be standing. You'll come out of that warfare standing. In authority, in full victory. Amen? Amen? As a son and a daughter, as a new believer, born again, talking, devil rebuking, disciple of Jesus Christ, you have power. You've been empowered already by Holy Spirit. You have the authority of Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So we thank Holy Spirit tonight that He has continued to build us up. He has continued to equip us. Amen? Amen. So we take that stand before Him, knowing that we are able and capable to do all things in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He makes the impossible possible. And if He did it with Jesus, He can do it with us. Amen?